Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the phenomenal appeal of the public television show and upcoming movie, Downton Abbey? Let's go in depth with historian Kathy Wilson. Kathy, you do a remarkable number of public presentations, a wide variety of them.
True.
How did you get started doing public programs?
It was the result of a conversation with my local librarian. She had a call from a number of her patrons to do a special program for the end of the Downton Abbey series, of all things. And she asked me to find her a speaker. She and I had collaborated on a variety of different programs over the years. And I told her I would, but I came up empty-handed. And she said, well, you could do this. And I said, well, I haven't watched the show. And she said, well, here are my credentials. You can log into my IPT account and you can binge watch it. So I conveniently caught the flu, spent 2 weeks laying on my sofa watching Downton Abbey, and put together a program for her patrons. And it was such a hit that she put the word out on the state library listserv that everybody should have me come to their library to do a program. And the next thing I knew, I left my position in the museum world and took my show on the road, and I've been doing programs now for 4 years.
Well, let's talk about the Downton Abbey one. Okay, so what's special about that program? Why do people, well, first the TV show. What's
right.
special about it? Describe it, what is it, in case people don't know, and then we'll talk about what's special about that, and then your perspective on it.
Well, the TV show focuses on a wealthy, aristocratic British family that have this amazing country estate, live in a huge house called Downton Abbey, which in real life is Highclere Castle. So it is a real place, just a different name. And it begins in 1912, so right before World War I, and the series ran through 1926. So they made some major jumps in time. And so it has all the drama and trauma you would expect with a period story like this. And the relationships that take place in the series involve a great deal of interactions between the family who lives upstairs and all of the servants who make their lives possible. Well, when my librarian asked me to do this program, she said, they have a lot of questions about those relationships. Could you address that in your program? I said, sure. So the program that I put together is called Downstairs at Downton. It's a three-part look at life in an English country manor house, like the one that the family, the Crawleys, live in Downton Abbey. The first part of the program, I make the audience country house owners, and we take a look at what it will take for them both monetarily and in terms of employees to run their household. And then the second part, I focus more heavily on what the life was like for the folks who did the work, who made their luxurious lifestyle upstairs a possibility. And then the third part of the program is a quick overview of what happened in Britain between the end of World War I and the early 1930s that really put the producers into a situation where they needed to make a hard decision about whether to continue with the series or not, because it was going to get very dire for the family if they continued on.
Because of things that were happening in the real world at that time, the
yes.
family was going to, but this is a fictional family, right?
It's a fictional family, but the storyline is based around real events that took place in Britain between 1912 and 1926. So they're dealing with the fallout of World War I. Anytime you have a war, there's always a big recession when it's over because the economy has to reset back to normal. People become aware that there are other jobs now that they can do, for women especially, because they took over the jobs that men did when the men went off to do their bit, just like what happened in our country in World War II. And so the fallout from the war and that period of recovery afterwards changed the status quo in ways that, as Americans, we don't really appreciate, because the war wasn't fought in our backyard.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about Downton Abbey with historian Kathy Wilson. I must admit, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the very wealthy.
I can appreciate
living
that.
In castles.
Right.
And so I'd be much more interested in the people that are working and the relationship between the different, I guess you'd say, classes of people with mm-hmm. respect to economic classes. I'm sure that there's plenty of tension in that.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And this is another area that Americans really don't quite understand, because the social structure in Britain is very different than the social structure in America. In our country, we have a three-class system, upper, middle, and lower, and you can be a member of any of those classes at any time, whether you won Powerball Wednesday night or the markets tanked on Monday morning. And we think nothing of moving up and down that line repeatedly over our lifetimes. In Britain, they don't have a class system, they have a social order. And it's been that way for centuries. And it starts with the monarch at the top, and then it goes down through the folks with titles and the people who own land and professional people, shopkeepers, farmers, all the way down to the lowest beggar on the street. And you were born into a particular layer of that hierarchy. And then within each of those layers is a whole nother hierarchy. And so people knew what their position in life was, what their opportunities were, and also accepted the fact that there was little room to change them. And consequently, as long as everybody bought into that, it worked very well. That really doesn't start to change in Britain until the last part of the 20th century.
Yeah, that would be something I would probably be pretty disruptive. I mean, especially if I was, a lower class person. I think that, I don't know, maybe that's something as Americans, we just want to break down those barriers. Is that?
There is something to be said for that. The folks who kind of fall in the middle of that social order are really the ones who were the troublemakers, because if you go back to the 18th century, that small group of people who were right in the middle, the small farmers and the craftsmen and the artisans and merchants, those are the people who ultimately become the patriots that fight our revolution. And so if you take that back to Britain, the same things that motivated them to agitate for change, which was growing wealth in their level because of international trade, those same factors existed in Britain. And so that same group of people were the ones who were kind of the agitators. But they were smart enough to realize that they weren't going to get very far unless they followed the rules in a different way. So if you're the one who's suddenly making money and you've never had any before, instead of becoming a rebel with a cause, you simply use it to leverage your position so that you can buy land and gain in status. Because in Britain, if you don't own land, you cannot be in the government.
Still?
Well, no, now you can. That's part of what the House of Commons is for. But for centuries, the real power lay in how much land that you own. And so the only way to have any say-so in what happened to you was to be a landowner. So instead of starting a war, like we did here, they use it as an opportunity to buy into the system, so to speak.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about Downton Abbey with historian Kathy Wilson. And so what are the kinds of questions and comments that you get from people that come to your programs? I mean,
on this one in particular?
Yeah, on this one in particular.
Well, there's a lot of intrigue in Downton Abbey, a lot of drama, as you might expect, in a primetime show where you have, illicit affairs or illegitimate children or inappropriate relationships, accusations of murder. I mean, there's all kinds of fun things. So normally the questions have something to do with, would they really do X, Y, or Z, right? For example, the one that I always start with afterwards, if no one's asking questions, is, would your lady's maid really help you carry a dead body out of your bedroom in the middle of the night with your mother? Because that happens early on in the series. And everybody is usually kind of, I don't know, would they or, would they or wouldn't they? By the end of my program, they know without a doubt what the answer is. But see, I'm not going to tell anybody because they should come and hear my program.
Well, one of the things I like about it is it's so beautifully shot.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just a work of art. But what do we learn about us when we consider that time, that place, that class structure?
Well, I think part of what fascinates Americans about Downton Abbey is it represents a way of life that we don't have. We don't have titled people. We don't have nobles and monarchs. The closest thing we can do is kind of drool over the houses that, actors and actresses and other famous wealthy people build. And we sometimes try to live vicariously through their actions. But because they don't have titles, and their lifestyle is so different from that upper class lifestyle of the past, I think we're more easily drawn into that sense of entitlement that they have that we don't, and we know we never will. So I think that's part of what has fed the ongoing relationship between the United States and Britain since the beginning, is that we're still all one big family, sometimes happy, sometimes not so much. But because of that underlying connection, we are fascinated with what they do because we know that's an extension of who we are in a different way, though.
Thanks to Kathy Wilson for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.